What is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalmist prays in the divine office this morning of Matins. The son of man that thou shouldst visit him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we honor the second joyful mystery, how Our Lady, our Lord, in her heart visited her cousin Elizabeth and sanctified him and the whole house of Zachary. In the last gospel, Peter and Paul, whom we are intent on honoring this day on their solemnity, Saint Peter, our Lord is with him, and he declares that he's not worthy because he is a sinful man to be visited by God. Imagine it. And yet we are our whole lives long. American English is pretty homogenized today. That is to say, because of television, pretty much the same from one end of the country to the next, with some exceptions. You know how in Cincinnati people will say, instead of saying what, or excuse me, they'll say, please, bitte, from the German. And how that sounds nice, doesn't it? In the upper Midwest, starting at about what they call the cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, clear across to Montana, people won't say, well, I went to see him to talk about the schedule. They'll say, I visited with him to talk about the schedule, or we visited simply about the schedule. That sounds far more warm and more friendly. Now, formally speaking, the word visitation connotes a certain mischance, a disaster. The visitation of God's justice on New Orleans, that city so identified with public sin. But the truth of the matter is that whenever God comes and whatever happens is in a sense his will, why then it is God. And Our Lady, Mother of all mankind, must be there too, mustn't she? So our response would always be one of warmth and of friendliness, including those times when our Lord visits us to chastise us with some kind of a cross or suffering. We should try, seeing Our Lady there, to welcome it. How welcome it is when you go to visit someone who's being visited, who's under some cross or affliction. If you go for a good motive and you have Our Lord in your heart, Our Lady surely goes with you. And it doesn't matter, I think, so much what you say or don't say, just the fact that you're there. And the other ones whom you are bringing with you. We're so grateful these days that Father Thielen is with us, and all week long he's visiting our sick. We have a little society at church, you know, called the Visitation Society. Today's your feast day. Happy feast day. And happy are you who carry out our Lord's request, I was sick and you visited me. I'm thinking particular of one parishioner, dear Betty Richter, who's in a nursing home, and she used to come to the 7:30 for many years, very faithful, faithful Catholic. Well, her sight's just about gone, and, you know, if you can't see, you'd automatically kind of depend on your sense of touch. But our Lord has seen fit to take that away from her as well. She told me already last year she couldn't feel the rosary beads anymore. She has to count her rosary on her fingers. Well, she's dependent on others. And some aides in the nursing home are kind and will feed her, make sure she gets her food, but others don't. And I thought how wonderful it would be if we on a regular basis at meal times tried to visit Betty to make sure that she had the warmth of some Christian company as well as some practical assistance to be able to take her nourishment. Those acts of practical Christian charity go a long way towards counterbalancing sometimes bitter controversies that divide Catholics. And they remind us that this truly is that on which we shall be judged. How important it is to visit Our Lady. If you read over, and I hope you will, to meditate today, the Gospel of the Visitation, you will see Our Lady goes on a deed of charity with haste. She's in a hurry, aren't we all? But she's not in too much of a hurry to take care of her cousin Elizabeth and John, her little baby, so that he will be born without original sin. We're in a rush, but we have to take enough time to stop a bit to sanctify this life before we pass on by. You know that as we get closer to the end, the Blessed Mother visits this earth. I want to tell you about some visitations today and end with one that is predicted for Saints Peter and Paul. Our Lord asked for peace to come to this world, that we should make reparation to Mary's Immaculate Heart. One of the ways she is offended is by dishonoring her shrines and her feast days. In the year 1611, an Italian priest wrote the tale at a shrine to Mary called Monte Virgine, the Virgin's Mountain, which is near Naples in Italy. There was a long Pentecost weekend holiday, and a lot of people came to that shrine town not to pray, but to party. And they were all busy partying over Pentecost weekend when there was a terrible fire. The bar, the inn where they were, there were a lot of sins against modesty in particular. Dancing, you know, music, people drinking too much, the usual thing. The remarkable thing is that almost everybody died. 1,500 people died in that building. 5 escaped. And the 5 who escaped swore that they saw the Virgin Mary with a torch in each hand, setting fire to that place. What a remarkable image of the justice of God that we rarely think about as we, without a second thought, violate the sanctity of Sundays and of holy days. My other story is from St. Alphonsus, and it's a visitation of mercy. But remember, we've got to meditate on the both to get it right. There was a woman, St. Alphonsus says, her name was Mary, but she was so un-Mary-like that she scandalized the whole town. And finally, the town fathers decreed that she was banished from the city. Every day at nightfall, she'd have to leave the town. She ended up camping out in a kind of a cave in the country outside the city walls. And she never would give up her sinful ways. It came to pass that she died. St. Alphonsus says, in a loathsome corruption, all by herself, no priest, no sacraments, no one to help. And because she died that way, they buried her like a beast in the field without a single prayer. Now, there was a nun in that town, her name was Sister Catherine, Mary Catherine, and she was in the practice, as devout people are, of praying for the daily dead. She heard that somebody died, she'd say a prayer for that person, continued to pray for that person. She never thought to pray for Mary because she thought, who wouldn't? Well, she went to hell. But you never know the ways of God. You mustn't be too sure that you've got this justice mercy thing right. Better off leave that to God. One day she's praying for the poor souls, and a soul from purgatory in flames appears to her. What do you have against me? The soul asks. Why won't you pity me? What do you mean? Who are you? I'm Mary, the woman that lived and died in that cave outside of town. Sister, you've never said a single prayer for me. Well, how did you ever save your soul? And she told the tale of how it happened. I realized, she said, I was dying, abandoned by everybody. And I turned to the Mother of God and I said, Lady, thou art the refuge of the abandoned. Behold me at this hour, deserted by all. Thou art my only hope. Thou alone canst save me. Have pity on me. And Our Lady obtained for me the grace to make an act of perfect contrition. Do you all remember what that is? That you are sorry for your sins for the motive of the love of God. And for that reason, you resolve never to sin again. That's the purpose of the prayer that we say, our daily act of contrition. And so Mary said, I died and I am saved. And my queen arranged it so my purgatory would not last so long, that it should be more intense than most. And now I'm almost free, but some masses must be offered for me. So Sister Catherine said she would, of course, do that immediately. She arranged to have four masses offered for this Mary. And after the last mass was offered, she had another vision, a kind of a blinding light like that of many suns came into the room where she was. And she saw Mary, who was on her way to glory, and she stopped to thank the nun for taking care of the masses. I'm going now to paradise, she said, to sing the mercy of God, and I promise I'll pray for you. You have to visit others spiritually by your prayers because you just never know. Our Lady visits a woman and helps her, especially when she prays to her, and that woman is Holy Mother Church. The Feast of the Visitation, you know, comes from the era when Catholics were all divided into four camps, recognizing different men as popes, the Great Western Schism. Two opposing camps both started the Feast Day of the Visitation to beg Mary for peace, and she restored the peace. We should rejoice to see and encourage others who are of the Novus Ordo or no particular religion to wear the scapular, to pray the rosary, to wear a miraculous medal, to do anything to honor the Blessed Mother, because it is the first step towards their salvation and towards the restoration of the Church. How will it come at the end, do you think? Separated by several centuries, two Roman women, lay women, both of them, one was a housewife with many children, and the other, I think, never married, but they're both venerables of the Church, first step to sanctity, and their writings have received the imprimatur of the Catholic Church. And they both tell how, at the end, after some horrible chastisement comes upon the Church and the world, that Peter and Paul will come, and St. Peter will point out and choose the man who is to be the Pope. And that is how it will be settled, by a visitation from heaven. To visit is a very important thing. You will be visited your whole life long. Our country is being visited right now, and I fear there is far, far worse to come for the terrible sins of which the United States of America is guilty, and the sins that we export to all of the world. There will be an hour of visitation for that. In the meantime, while you can, visit. Visit your neighbor, someone who's sick, as an act of pure charity. Do it kindly, discreetly, but do it. I was in prison, and you visited me. I've often noticed over the years that when Catholics come to church during the week to conduct business at the office or to see one of the priests. Hardly anyone ever makes a visit to the Blessed Sacrament or the Blessed Mother. St. Alphonsus converted a whole diocese of pretty bad-living Italians by the practice of visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And we don't even think anymore to pop into church, kneel down, and to say a little prayer, to make a little visit to Jesus who is here. One day, you will be counting on him and his mother to visit you in God's mercy. Now you in mercy, you go first to church, to the nursing home, to a neighbor, and you make your little visit. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.